It was welcome back to the George Myland. I was trying to forgive the quirkiness. Anyhow, the question is, how much has Russian sway been reduced legal and unprovoked of invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February this year, 2022? Because I think it's beyond argument that it has diminished, because Russia's just got very little attention or money to devote to other causes, very little political capital to expend in other sectors, has had to withdraw its Wagner mercenaries, some of them anyway, from Syria, from Libya, from Mali, possibly from Mozambique, of the Central African Republic. But as the Russian army has so grossly underperformed, that's actually Yevgeny Prigozhin's private military company, Wagner. Some people say it's really an unsustainable officialist of extension of the Russian military, because mercenary activity is illegal in Russia. And yet it's existed openly for 8 years, Wagner. So obviously the Russian state will break its own rules flagrantly on an absolutely enormous scale. So Russia's member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, CSTO. The only other members are Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. So five others besides Russia. And so of the 15 former Soviet republics, let's take away Russia, it's got 14 besides Russia. Only five of those 14 have chosen to join it. Nine are not. Three are inveterately hostile to Russia because they're being illegally occupied by Russia, at least in part, Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. Remember, before Putin came along, relations between Ukraine and Russia were cordial. Russia had got this Black Sea fleet base in Sevastopol in Ukraine. Ukraine gave him a 25-year lease, might have given him another 25-year lease. If Russia hadn't tried to interfere in their elections, to rig their elections, to get a convicted criminal from the Soviet era, elected president, to murder their properly elected president, you know, the Ukrainians and the Russians would get along just fine. But it was Russian unacceptance of Russia, of Ukrainian sovereignty, which obviously led to relations turning sour. So Russia has got very few allies. It's only, sort of the filthy five will vote from the United Nations, like Syria, Eritrea, North Korea, who is it, Cuba, maybe somebody else, Nicaragua. Thank you, you like me in Azerbaijan. Okay, great. So, Yaxshamlar, nasılsınız? Yaxshı? Ben Azerbaijan dil konuşurum. And I can't really say very much more. So please make sure people are watching. I also comment on Azerbaijan's conflict to regain its lawful sovereign territory in Nagorno-Karabakh. Don't forget about Karabakh. I remember seeing that graffiti up in Azerbaijani. So Russia is able to sell far less of its energy to the West, and that situation is not going to bounce back. If Russia were to withdraw unconditionally from Ukraine today, it wouldn't get those Western markets back for several years, because they don't want to be over a barrel, if at all, because Russia could try and use the energy weapon again. And anyway, European Union countries are moving towards green energy, renewable energy, many get all renewable within 30 years. And that's actually an achievable goal. You know, the United Kingdom is something like 40% renewable already. So Russia is having to sell oil and gas more to India and China, but the Chinese drive a very hard bargain. There are no sweetheart deals with them. There are no mates rates. They'll only buy it at a reduced rate. But the capacity to sell to China and India is considerably reduced, because there just aren't enough pipelines. There's just not enough oil tankers to deliver it. So another fascinating and rather telling statistic: the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, outside the Soviet Union, there were 20 million people learning the Russian language. There's now 1 million. So by any measure, that's really a collapse. Bear in mind, there are only 5.5 billion people in the world in 1991. There are now 8 billion. So despite the population of the world increasing, you know, very substantially, something like 35%, the number of people who's learning Russian has been reduced by 95%. And that's got to be a disaster in any terms. And Putin tries to talk about the Russian-speaking world. If you speak Russian, you are Russian, which is obviously a complete fallacy. It's absolutely moronic. That's like saying the Bolivians are Spanish. No, they're not. That the Americans are English. No, they're not. A language is not a nationality, and a nationality is not a language. India's got 2,000 languages. Anyway, and it's that attitude which makes Ukrainians give up the Russian language, which they otherwise would be willing to speak. So at the CSTO summit in Yerevan, Armenia, Putin got a hard time from people. President Tokayev of Kazakhstan, he said the CSTO is supposed to be about the maintenance of peace. Many people thought this is a thinly veiled criticism of him. In Armenia, there have been open anti-Russian protests. You know, what's the point of being the CSTO if they don't throw us a lifeline when we so desperately need it? Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, they have this ongoing smoldering border dispute, which all dates back to the Soviet era, when the Soviet government deliberately drew the border in such a way as to complicate things, to try and make the breakup of the Soviet Union impossible. It didn't, it just made it, and it still hasn't been sorted out decades later. So these deliberately illogical borders, which take no account of the ethnography of the region. So these are problems deliberately created by Moscow earlier in the 20th century, and Putin has no interest in adjudicating that one. He doesn't want to have to choose between and alienate them. And all the while, Russia's sway is diminishing. On the other hand, there is some upsides to Russia, I suppose. Where they've had about 1% of the population emigrate this year, but those are mostly young men. They've often gone to former Soviet countries like Armenia, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, cheaper places to live. And the Armenians have obviously welcomed the influx because they've got under 3 million people. Their population is declining. They're outnumbered by the Azerbaijanis 3.5 to 1. So to boost their population is good news for them, and it's boosted their economy. The economy is going to grow about 10%. The same is the case for the other countries which have experienced a lot of immigration from Russia. So otherwise, the Russian community in these countries was dwindling, and Russia's going to have less and less sway. And obviously, countries like Kazakhstan feel menaced. They've got this huge long border, over 2,500 kilometers long, which is indefensible. They're outnumbered by the Russians 10 to 1. Russia's mistake was to attack a tough target, Ukraine, which could hold its own, whereas Kazakhstan couldn't because the border is just so enormous. It's impossible to defend an area that large, and it's got a lot of oil and gas. But that might irk the Chinese, and they think this is their sphere of influence, so they wouldn't like Russia throwing its weight around there. So Russia's more dependent on China, but China's not doing them any favors. And actually, Russia's Far East is actually denuded. The Chinese think in very long time spells, they're very long time scales. So eons by Western standards, we've got the attention span of a mayfly. And they haven't forgotten that Russia's just another European imperialist power that in the 19th century took the opportunity to snatch a lot of Chinese territory north of the Amur River, and the Chinese would like it back. So wait till Russia is sufficiently enfeebled and just move in and take some of Siberia. And Russia, what you gonna do? We outnumber you 10 to 1. And their economy is reaching parity with Russia. So oil and gas, we're just not gonna be buying their oil and gas like at all in 30 years' time. So I suppose it's the last chance to do this. But Russia has really expended any goodwill it had in most of the world. But there are very few Western politicians who are willing to make excuses for Russia. Orban Viktor, the Prime Minister of Hungary, is one of the very few. Some of the sort of neo-Nazis and some of the communists, even though Putin's a complete anti-communist, so the communists always stand against him, those sort of people are willing to stand up for him. They've got a fairly cordial relationship with Iran just because they're anti-Western countries. But Russia is not the center of Marxist-Leninism or any ideology that can be universalized in any way. So it's unquestionable that Russian influence has declined, but I would caution people about exaggerating how much it's declined and with what rapidity. So Russia will still have some sway in Central Asian countries for decades to come. Obviously, in Azerbaijan, there are schools in Baku like Stoshest. You can have Russian as your primary language of instruction, astonishingly, over 30 years after independence. Despite Russian having no official status in Azerbaijan, they've actually not phased it out, nor are their plans to do so, to my surprise. Well, there's been a declension in the usage of the Russian language, but it's surprising it hasn't been more, actually, especially when they looked at to Turkey as their hinterland and not to Russia. And so Russia's going to decline demographically, economically, politically, socially, culturally, really just about every way. Putin has squandered what goodwill, what political capital it had in this madcap scheme. Now, it could try and use hard power, capture at least a bit of Ukraine, maybe want some negotiations, a frozen conflict to take a bit more of a chunk. You already control about 10% before he began this war, the new phase of the war, I should say. The war's been going on since 2014. So we'd have 15% or 20% or something like that of Ukraine. Build up his strength, wait for the West's defenses to run down, West to run out of interest, stop funding the Ukrainians, and then try and take another bit. But it doesn't look like the Ukrainians are up for that one. So this war's going to go on for at least a year. And at that point, the Russians really will run out of money. And the West could do a lot in terms of confiscating over $300 billion of Russian state assets in Western banks, privately owned Russian assets in other countries could be seized, tens of billions at least, and used to fund the Ukrainian military and humanitarian relief there. So there's really no soft power because of the countless atrocities that Russia's had to commit, cutting herself off from the rest of the world, is economically in a death spiral. Now, I don't think the economy is going to collapse. No, not soon. Shrinking 10% this year, a few more percent next year, a few more percent after that. But if we go back to how bad it was in the mid 90s, that would take at least 10 years if it happens at all, indeed. So we mustn't overstate the detrimental impact of these sanctions on Russia, but increasingly it can't get the components it needs from other countries. And so other former Soviet countries like Armenia and Kazakhstan are reluctant to re-export lest they expose themselves to secondary sanctions. Right, thank you so much for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.